Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18 through 20. And Jesus said, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. Lord, I want to thank you for another day in your house. Lord, I want to thank you for the great Sunday school lesson we had this morning and the great preaching Brother Austin did this morning, Lord. Lord, I want to ask you to help me, Lord. Lord, there's no way I can do this without you, Lord. I ask that you have me say everything you want me to say and nothing you don't, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. A little bit of a backstory of what's happened here is Jesus had just finished fasting for 40 days in the wilderness, and he had just been tempted by Satan. And he hears that John has been thrown into prison, so he leaves Nineveh because his people of his hometown reject him in Luke 4, 16 through 30. And he goes to Galilee, and he stops in a fishing village, Capernaum, I think I'm saying that right, to preach and to get people to repent. As Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, he sees two brothers, Andrew and Simon Peter. Simon Peter and Andrew were in their boat just fishing. Jesus walked by and said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I wonder what Jesus saw in those fishermen. He called them to be his first disciples. Nothing in the Bible seems to say that they were anything but ordinary men just trying to make a living. Yeah. Jesus knew that. He knew that they were just simple fishermen and didn't know anything about fishing for men. Jesus chose these disciples not for who they were, but for what Jesus could do through them. Yes, the amount of faith it took to leave everything that they knew, their homes, their families, jobs, all to follow after Jesus. They didn't know all that was going to happen. There's no way that they could have known everything that was Jesus was going to do while they was following him. All they knew was that they needed to be with him. They had been fishermen most, if not all, of their lives. It's all they knew. But something about being a fisher for men caught their attention. Something about Jesus made them want to drop everything that they knew and follow him. This decision changed their entire lives and the lives of those around them. If we follow Jesus the way we should, it will change our lives and the people around us. So what do we have to do to be a fisher of men? First, you got to go to the right spot. I'm not going to try to catch a fish out of a puddle. I'm going to go down to a river. You have to go where the fish are in order to catch them. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to go far to find someone who doesn't know about Jesus. I bet most of us know friends who don't go to church, neighbors who don't know Jesus, and family members who ain't saved. We come in contact every day with people who need the gospel. If we only talk about Jesus to people who are saved, we won't catch very many fish. We should be actively seeking opportunities to share the gospel with non-believers. Luke 2:10 says, therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers unto his harvest. Sometimes it's easy to think that there isn't anyone left to witness to. But our mission field is all around us. God puts people in our path every day that we can share the gospel with. I'll tell you a story. A couple Sundays ago, we stopped at a gas station. We had to get gas. So I walked in the gas station to pay, and some older gentleman said, hey, preacher, you going to church? I've never seen him before in my life. But God put him there for me to witness to and give him a track. We don't have to go to a foreign country to spread the gospel. Right. I'm thankful to those people that do, but not everyone's going to be called into the mission field. There are plenty of people all around us who are ready to hear the truth about him right now. There's always someone who needs Jesus. And if we are willing to look around for even a minute, we'll see that the harvest is truly plentiful and the rivers are overflowing with fish ready to be caught. The problem is we don't want to put in the work. A lot of times we're afraid of what our friends might think. We get caught up in our heads, will they think I'm crazy? What if they make fun of me? What if they ask me questions I don't know the answers to? But who cares what they think? People are dying every day and going to hell,
yes,
because we let pride get in the way.
Right.
Something I have to do every day before going into the college is I have to pray. I sit in my truck and I have to pray, Lord, help me to be a better witness.
Amen.
I don't want to let pride get in the way when it comes to telling others about Jesus. And it has before. I'll be the first to admit that. Those of you who know me know I don't like being in front of people. But we have to get pride out of the way.
Yes, sir.
Is your pride worth the price of people dying and going to hell?
Amen.
Have you ever had someone in your life you thought was too far gone for God to come in and save their soul? Not that you thought that God couldn't do it, but they was you just thought it would never happen. They was too stubborn or too full of unbelief. Well, no one is too far gone, and nothing is too big for God. Jesus' own brothers didn't believe he was the Messiah until after his resurrection.
Yes, sir.
John 7:5 says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Some of them even thought he was crazy. Mark 3:21 says, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said that he is beside himself. Can you imagine growing up with Jesus and still not believing that he's the Son of God? But I'm thankful for Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Here we see his brothers praying in one accord with their mother and his disciples. They finally believed after years of unbelief. Sometimes the hardest people to reach can be family, close friends, but no one is too far out of the reach of God. Too far out that God can't reach down and do what we can't. Nothing is more important than souls. We need to ask ourselves, are we willing to step out of our comfort zone and follow the command of Jesus? Second, we have to bait the hook. It's not enough to take your rod and hooks and bait down to the river. You can take all the right supplies, but if you never cast, you're never going to catch anything. Just like you can go to church, read your Bible, and pray, and we should do all these things, but if we never actually share the gospel with others, we're never going to catch anything. A lot of times when it comes to sharing the gospel, we want to play the short game. We bait the hook, throw it in, and move on. But that's not fishing. When I go fishing, I don't go for a few minutes. I go for at least a couple hours. My point is, don't just tell the ones around you about Jesus and just leave it. You have to live it in front of them. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If we truly are walking with God, others will be able to tell a difference. People are watching not just your words, but your actions, our attitudes, how we react under stress, and our kindness. These are the things that will bait the hook and draw people to Jesus. What do people see when they look at you? Are you leading people to Christ or away from them? Third, I see, focus on casting the rod, not how many fish you catch. You aren't going to catch fish every time you go fishing. I'll tell you a story. A couple months ago, when we got that real cold spell, school canceled. Well, me and Brother Peyton decided, well, we're going to go trout fishing. It was like, 15-degree weather with like 30-mile-an-hour gusts of wind. We was there for like 2-3 hours trying to catch a fish. We had ice freezing to our rods and everything. We didn't catch anything. But it's just like not everyone you invite to church is going to come. Nowhere in the Bible, at least that I know of, says that we're responsible for getting people saved. What we are responsible for is sharing the gospel with people.
Yep.
In all honesty, there's nothing else we can do. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 3:6 that some will plant, some will water, but God is the one who gives the increase. It is God who draws people to Himself by the Holy Spirit. We are to bait and cast and let God do the rest. God will reward us for doing our part. 1 Corinthians 3:7 and 8 says, "So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now that he planteth, and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." We don't control how many fish we catch. The truth is the same with the gospel. There's nothing that you or I can do on our own. It's all Him. We have to. All we can do is share the gospel and let God do the rest. In closing, Simon Peter and Andrew were ordinary men. All through the Bible, God calls the ordinary to do the extraordinary. Like Moses, who was tending sheep in the backside of a desert when God appeared to him in a burning bush and called him to lead the children out of Israel. The children of Israel out of Egypt. Or David, a shepherd boy, who took some stones and a sling and defeated Goliath. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, all fishermen who became disciples of Jesus. God chooses and uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29 says, For ye see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty after many, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base the things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen ye. And things that are not, to bring not things that are, not that the flesh should glory in His presence. He doesn't need our ability, but rather our ability.
Yes, sir.
He uses ordinary people every day who have nothing to offer but their own faithfulness and willingness to say yes to God.
Yep.
So will you let God use you to become a fisher of men? That's all I got. It's the preacher.